Great to have you here on a day where we are following a lot of stories, including the loss of a Hollywood icon.
I were to offer you $1 million for one night with your wife.
How many times was that question repeated? And was that a supper time table talk between spouses back in 1993? Robert Redford, we learned, died this morning at the age of 89 years old. So we will talk a little bit more about that through the show. Also, following a brand new story out from the RCMP. So, of course, this shooting that happened on Friday night where a vehicle was traveling on Highway 39. Two women, one driving, one passenger. The woman in the passenger seat struck by a bullet and killed. That investigation at this point has not yielded any information that would translate to an arrest or to helping understand what happened that night. We now are hearing from the RCMP a second vehicle was damaged that night. A vehicle that came forward the next day saying, look, we heard a couple of pops. We were traveling on the highway right around 8 o'clock, which is when this initial shot happened. And the next day, they noticed the tire was flat on their SUV. They contacted the RCMP. Yesterday, the forensic identification section did an examination of the tire, and it was determined it was damaged by a gunshot. So no one injured in the second vehicle, but perhaps changing the dynamics on this. So we will continue to follow that. We've got a full show, lots of different things going on. Start of Parliament yesterday, Carney versus Poilievre for the first time officially in the House of Commons. We'll relive a couple of those moments and get your thoughts. Should there be consequences? And I'm in the camp that there should be. Should there be consequences for public officials making statements that show support for the killing of Charlie Kirk? This goes, of course, further than just which side politically do you land on. The people that were cheering on social media, especially if you're an elected official, to me, it's offside. There's a case in Manitoba. However, it's an apology and let's move on. Not enough in my case. Let's talk a bit about that and hear your thoughts. Also on the show today, Farmer's Almanac, the oldest continuously published periodical in North America since the 1700s, a very accurate weather predictor. We've got senior editor Tim Goodwin joining the show today. And police officers receive training in how to deal with protests. What's the law? What's permitted? That kind of thing. Protesters also receive training. The Canadian Civil Liberties Association has released an updated guide to protesting. This is the same organization, by the way, that's pushing against calls for bail reform. It should be an interesting conversation with the Director of Criminal Justice from the CCLA later on the show. So hope you can join us for the show. Stick around. We are going to head into today's Big Talker.
Let's get down to business, shall we?
Welcome.
Let's begin.
The Evan Bray Show. The Big Talker.
So this is a story that's been bubbling around actually now for a while. An audit being conducted into the Federation of Sovereign Indigenous Nations, FSIN, has come up with some results that many consider to be worrying. Indigenous Services Canada, which conducted the audit, presented its findings to FSIN's executive team Thursday, PowerPoint presentation outlining more than $34 million missing. PA Now senior reporter Nigel Maxwell has been following this story from the start, has received copies of reports and the presentation, and joins us by phone this morning. Nigel Maxwell, thanks for joining the program.
Oh, good morning, Evan. Thank you.
So you were one of the first to report on this. You broke this story. When did this first come across your desk?
So all this story really goes back about a year and a half when I received information that the FSIN was going to be audited. And sure enough, through a check with the Indigenous Services Canada, that was confirmed that in March of 2024, they were going to be taking a look at expenditures that date back to April 1st of 2019 up until present day. Now, right at the time when that happened, I obviously reached out to FSIN to say, can you confirm this is happening? What's going on? And they're much like is happening today. There was no answer back then.
Are audits like this by Indigenous Services Canada done randomly and regularly, or are they complaint-based?
I think it's a combination of both. I mean, recently we saw that James Smith Cree Nation Chief, Kirby Constant, had, during his campaign, said, if elected, I'm going to have a forensic audit done and answer all the questions that are related by community members. That way we clear up all the confusion. In other cases, which I heard are more complaint-based, which is what this is happening here, there was some information received by and even pushed for by some former executive members calling for this forensic audit. Indigenous Services Canada investigated and obviously felt there was some room to do some reviews.
Nigel Maxwell is my guest, senior reporter, PA Now. Do we know the complainant, first of all, and then the substance of the complaint? Were there specific or direct allegations?
I can't, due to the fact, this is obviously very high profile, and there are some people who could get in trouble if their name is mentioned. I'm going to reserve that answer, I guess, maybe on who was behind this.
Sure.
I'm just going to say just some high-ranking members of the executive had raised some questions and raised some flags about what was happening within the FSIN. Now, in June, those same members, this is why I'm keeping their names kind of secret, is because they came forward to me again in June and showed me the results, the initial findings of this audit, which showed at that time well over $20 million in questionable, unsupported expenses. And at that time, again, I should mention that FSIN did have about a few weeks to come back with receipts and show proof. But, I mean, the story has been unfolding, like I said, about a year and a half. There's been some really high-profile people involved in the Indigenous leadership in our province that have come forward just concerned and frustrated and want the story out.
So my understanding is that this audit, KPMG audited $47.1 million in transactions and flagged $34.3 million worth of those. So a fairly big percentage of the overall audit scope that was done. Some were marked as ineligible, some were marked as questionable, some were marked as unsupported. Can you walk us through those categories, Nigel? What do they mean, and what is the follow-up that needs to happen?
Okay, so under questionable, the way I'm going to try and break this down is that these are things that were not program-based. There was no FSIN governance kind of explaining this leadership or these decisions that ISC could find. That would be categorized as questionable. Ineligible would be the money that would have been spent under, they would claim, the programming, but ISC was saying it doesn't quite fit the parameters of those.
So, and then unsupported, is that simply there's no documentation to support the expenditure?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah, that's right. So those are the ones they'd be looking for receipts, some kind of financial backing or proof of why those expenses were made. And at this time, apparently those are the numbers that they cannot be found. So.
And my understanding is there was a chunk of this that was COVID funding related that the questionable expenses are related to?
Yeah, actually the biggest chunk of all this has to do with COVID-related funding that was received between April 1st of 2019 and March 31st of 2023. This is the money that would have been paid out for PPE to the families and the supports in the member communities. And it found questionable expenditures from that COVID funding totaling over $23 million.
So is it safe to say, Nigel, at this point, I mean, it is possible that this is all legit and above board. There just needs to be documentation to support it.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like FSIN, we've reached out many, many times through email. We've asked them at press conferences to explain, provide a statement. And the best I've been able to do is intercept a text message exchange between vice chiefs, so I can go that far, explaining, yes, this is, we plan to appeal. All this spending was justified, and even going so far as to saying that the ISC should be the ones that are getting the forensic audit.
Do we have a sense, and I'm guessing maybe I'm asking a question that there isn't at this point an answer to, given we haven't heard much from FSIN, but do we have a sense, is this sloppy bookkeeping or is this intentional misspending?
From what I guess, going back through the 18 pages of the report that I received from KPMG, a lot of it has to do with the bookkeeping, outdated practices, changes that were made that were not updated. Has a lot more to do with that at this point than we can't really say intentional as
right
versus, there's some mistakes that were made, some things that were missed and omitted, and now FSIN simply has to come forward and show what happened.
So that's my question. Nigel Maxwell is our guest today, senior reporter with PA Now. What are the next steps?
Okay, so the last word I received from ISC is that now this goes to the minister. They're going to be coming back to the FSIN with a list of recommendations, which, I mean, could possibly include charges. For as far as we know, there's been suggestions made to me, some extreme governance changes made within the FSIN. We also know that by September 30th, the full report will be published on the ISC website.
Okay. Let's remind ourselves, perhaps, of who ultimately is FSIN answering to on this? I mean, this is a federal government directed through Indigenous Services of Canada audit, but who are the people that should be asking these questions about the money? Is it the number of First Nation members that make up FSIN?
I would say it's the money. Yeah, exactly. Those families and communities that are supposed to be receiving money for, like, the health spending. We talk about pandemic funding. We talk about housing costs. This is all money that flows down from the federal government to the FSIN, which it allocates to the communities to be paid out. And there's been some extreme money missing. We'll go back even before the FSIN's last election last fall. Some flags were being raised by SDC Tribal Chief Mark Arcand, talking about questions about he saw. Also, we had, again, James Smith, Cree Nation Chief Kirby Constant, had talked about $6.5 million that was supposed to be allocated from the FSIN for healthcare-related spending for the pandemic, and they only received $5.5 million.
Any timelines laid out?
No, beyond, we're waiting for that full report to come out. Again, by September 30th, a number of chiefs I've spoken to, they call it troubling. A lot of them are actually surprised because they hadn't seen this report. This was only kept at the table at the FSIN executive level, I should say. And so they were all quite surprised. They all want to wait, though, until after the full report is published on that website. Then they're going to be speaking out and commenting, I've been told. In the meantime, I've heard from at least one chief, Muskeg Lake Cree Nation Chief Kelly Wolf, has been great along the way, speaking publicly. He's called it very troubling, deeply troubling, the results from this audit. He's calling for governance changes within the FSIN, and he wants all members, all Indigenous communities, to come together to make that change.
Okay, and I know we touched on this briefly, but what are the potential consequences if this is found to be offside, if there has been, whether it's sloppiness or direct decision-making for inappropriate use of funds? What are the consequences? Is there criminal consequences? Is there a fine that could be levied? Do we know this, Nigel?
Well, again, I've mentioned everything. I've heard everything from governance changes directly within the FSIN to how bookkeeping is done, making those changes, to even as far as breach of trust by the RCMP. Now, I have reached out to the RCMP asking if there's been any kind of peep or sound yet in terms of an investigation, and they confirmed that not at this stage.
Okay. Well, I know you've been following this for over a year, and we'll continue to stay in close touch with you, Nigel. Thanks for this.
Thanks, Evan.
PA Now, senior reporter Nigel Maxwell. We appreciate him joining the show and talking us through some of the investigative work he has done in pulling this story apart to help us understand where it's at and where it potentially could end up. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.